Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Chapel. I think I know many of you, but for those of you who don't know me, my name is Skylar Hepler, and I am a senior seminarian at Bethany Seminary, as well as this year's student body president. And on behalf of the seminary faculty and students, I would like to once again invite all the men to our open house this Thursday, Sunday the 24th at 5:30 p.m. Like I said last semester, I know many of you men probably have never thought about being in the seminary or have no intention of being a pastor, and that was once me for a long time. But the reality of our world is that we need pastors today. So if any of you men here have ever even had the smallest thought of what it would be like to be a pastor, I would encourage you to pray about it and to ask questions about what it might look like to be a pastor. At the open house, we will be serving Middle Eastern food from Shawarmania, which if you've never had it before, it's amazing, so you should come just for that, if nothing else. And then we will be hearing a presentation from Professor Stafford about his time in the parish ministry, as well as a professor here at the college. Now, I do realize that there is a lot of basketball going on this weekend, and you probably have some other plans. But if you would like to come hang out either before or after, we can watch the Badgers on the screen because they are not losing to James Madison on Friday. And let's just be honest, you all can spare an hour or two because your brackets are going to be busted in a couple hours when one of your Final Four teams loses. So once again, this Sunday, 5:30 to 7, we'd love for you to join us. God's blessings on your worship this morning.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly, let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are your truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. So I've often heard it said that competition brings out the best in people. Now, one sense that might be true, as competition usually causes us to work harder or do better, whether that's playing a sport or trying to get that promotion or raise at work, or maybe even just trying to get the best grades in school. However, more often than not, I think competition actually brings out the worst in people. Because if there's one thing I've noticed about competition, it's that it usually involves a lot of trash talking. It might start with just a little bit of talking or chirping, but it can very quickly turn to more of a bit of bragging. And then when things get really aggressive, you see people actually start taunting. And that's when the hand gestures and stuff start coming into play. You might see people start sizing up their opponents or saying that they're too small and weak. Maybe people are silencing those around them. Or they're telling them to speak louder because they can't hear what they're saying. But in these words from Hannah before us this morning, I think there's a very interesting alternative about how we maybe should respond to those people and things that oppose us. It seems that maybe the most appropriate way to respond to our enemies is to smile. In order to better understand this text, I think it's important for us to put it back into the context of the greater story that's unfolding. So if we think back to 1 Samuel, the first chapter, it's there that we hear about this man, Elkanah. And Elkanah, he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Now, immediately, there might be some red flags going off in your head because, well, as we all know, God didn't design us to have multiple partners. Hannah, she was Elkanah's first wife, whom she loved much more than Peninnah. However, Hannah, she was unable to have children, whereas Peninnah could. You can maybe see how this is a bad situation and how this might lead to some jealousy on both sides. Scripture tells us that Peninnah taunted Hannah constantly, year after year. Or maybe a better way is to say that she tormented Hannah about her inability to have children. And naturally, this made Hannah miserable. So miserable, in fact, that there were times when she was unable to eat. So Hannah, she turns to the Lord in her distress. She prays for a son. The Lord blesses her with this son, whom she named Samuel. And then at some time after Samuel's birth that Hannah breaks out into this song before us today. Now, we don't know for sure whether or not this song of Hannah is directly referring to Peninnah or some sort of reaction to the relationship. But it doesn't seem unreasonable to suggest that these words are at least somewhat influenced by that situation. And if we think about these words of Hannah as a sort of response to an enemy or foe like Peninnah, it makes us begin to ask the question, how do we respond to those people and things that attack us? How do we respond to our own enemies? In order to answer that question, it's important for us to realize that our bodies can sometimes respond to things without us asking them to. If you talk to any of the biology or psychology students in the room, most of them could probably tell you that our bodies exhibit physiological responses to threats and dangers. We can typically think of our sympathetic nervous system as having four types of automatic responses. We fight, we flee, we fawn, or we freeze. Many of us are probably a little too familiar with that first type of response, when all we want to do is just fight. When we get angry, rather than keeping our cool, we lose it and lash out at others. We fail to follow Hannah's warning not to talk too proudly and let arrogance or evil words slip from our mouths. Other times, though, our response isn't to fight, but it's to flee and run away. Many of us struggle with how to navigate the reality of our faith when interacting with the world. Rather than trying to resolve potential problems between our faith and the world, we just avoid them entirely. How often have you found yourself intentionally avoiding challenging conversations in relationships because you're uncomfortable being uncomfortable? But then there's other times when we exhibit a completely different response known as a fawning response, where we give in to our enemies in order to appease them. In order to feel safe, we find ourselves avoiding conflict, not by running from the world, but rather giving in to it. We engage in activities and speech that goes against our own beliefs in an attempt to seek validation from those around us. We can even avoid conflicts within ourselves by giving into personal temptations, when in reality that just makes things worse. But then there are those times when we can't really do anything, and then when we're faced with our enemies, all we do is freeze. Maybe you've had those times when you've felt like Hannah in her relationship, so overwhelmed and distressed that it feels like the whole world is closing in around you and there's no way out. Times when you feel paralyzed and incapable of making any decision, good or bad. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that these threats and enemies aren't real. And I'm certainly not saying that the way they make you feel isn't real either. Give yourself permission to feel what you feel. But because of our sinful nature, we respond to our enemies in a variety of ways. And how you respond, what you do with what you feel, is your responsibility. Hannah, she experienced real emotion, and she turned to God in her hurt. And then our text tells us that she responded to her enemies with a smile. That word translated smile, it's actually very debated, and we don't know exactly what it means. In the original Hebrew, our text literally says that Hannah's mouth grew wide. She opened her mouth at her enemies. And what exactly that means, we don't know, but people have taken guesses. Some translations want to say that Hannah, she speaks boldly or boasts over her enemies. While other translations take this phrase more negatively, saying that Hannah derides her enemies or has contempt for them. And when we hear all these different translations and we think about all the different possibilities surrounding this phrase, it sort of sounds like Hannah is flexing on her enemies. And in a way, she is. But it's not a sinful sort of flex, a sinful negative sort of flex like you and I often do. Her flex is positive. It's a sort of God flex. Hannah is able to stand before her enemies with faithful confidence in her Savior. And the words of her text cry out to us, look at all the amazing things God has done. Despite all the trouble that she faces, she is able to stand confidently and rejoice, knowing that God will one day flip the whole world upside down. Those who are weak will be filled with strength, she says. The hungry will be satisfied, and the poor will be made rich. And then she goes on to say this really interesting statement at the end of our text. At the end of our text, Hannah proclaims that God will raise up the horn of his anointed one. That word horn, it's a symbol for strength and salvation. And the word anointed, the anointed one, is actually the Hebrew word Mashiach, which is the name for Messiah. You see, here in our text, Hannah is prophesying that God will raise up the salvation, the victory of his anointed one, his Messiah, who would point us back to the amazing work of God. Hannah is prophesying about the Messiah, who would one day be born another miracle baby like Samuel, though not born of a barren woman like Hannah, but rather born of a virgin. You see, through Mary, who would one day echo these words of Hannah in her more well-known song of the Magnificat, it's through Mary that the Messiah, your Savior, would be brought into this oppressive world to live that perfect life that you and I were meant to live. Jesus, he was mocked, ridiculed, bullied, and attacked for his teachings. But he did not respond with violence, and he did not let evil words slip from his mouth. Rather, he remained poised, and he refrained from sin. And then out of love for you and your enemies, he went to the cross, where he took upon himself every negative response that you and I have ever had to those around us. But then when he died, death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't shut him down because he rose from the grave to proclaim his victory. And now because of Jesus, you can respond to your enemies positively with a smile, knowing that God responded to you with the gift of his son. But then notice what else Hannah says. You see, at the end of our text, Hannah says that Christ's horn will be lifted up. But at the beginning of our text, she says that your horn is lifted up. God will give you the strength to endure all trials, temptations, and challenges. He has brought you to faith and strengthens you through his word and sacraments, through which he promises to forgive your sins. He gives you comfort in times of need, and he continues to give you the strength to endure throughout this life. Lastly, know that right now, in this very moment, God is watching over you. As Hannah says, he is guarding the feet of his saints. Despite all the evil and enemies in this world, God is continuously working for your good, and he is in control. God is watching over you, and he will not let your feet step anywhere you cannot handle. Yes, things will be tough at times, but God says you have no need to fear and no need to be concerned because Jesus is walking right alongside you. You can go about your day with confidence, knowing that God is watching over you. He is looking out for you, and he promises that everything is going to be all right. So, the next time you're faced with your enemies, those people and things that oppose you, whether it's the next time that mock trial competes for gold, or when the Bethany baseball and softball teams make it back to the UMAC championship game at the end of the year, allow yourself to be emotional. But rather than responding to your enemies in sin, smile like Hannah. Smile knowing that your Savior loves you and that he is watching over you. Smile knowing that he forgives you. And smile knowing that your Savior, Jesus, is smiling at you. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we face opposition in this world all the time, and often we do not respond in the best of ways. But out of love, you sent your Son Jesus to face the world for us, and to live that perfect life that we were meant to live. We thank you this morning for Jesus, who gave his life on the cross, so that we would receive forgiveness for all of our sins and have the ultimate reason to smile. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.